Wow. No idea where this goes, Priya, or the story. Yeah, it's a little bit about Dharma and Varnashram. Set me go in the Dharma book or whatever. You know, here, the aristocracy we're talking about, Kshatriya now. We have aristocracy here, Sweden and other countries. And not really in America, but... And who are those people? I would say they are originally, or should be, the Kshatriyas. And I understand it that the aristocracy, nobility, grew from that originally. It was created from, you know, soldiers, or rather military leaders, in the sense of being really strong and valiant chevaliers, who were, I would say, the ideal types, or what you would call Kshatriya. That entire culture there, that it also meant, you know, you're strong, you're heroic, but you're also honest and fair, you're moral. You follow the wise ones, and you're ready to die for defending truth and goodness and righteousness and so on, right? So they then were awarded by a king, whatever, whoever, given little palaces and made in charge of regions of the country, or maybe there were little countries next to each other, which are now like counties and provinces and like that, which we have every country, right? So it was more locally governed, you could say, by those kshatriyas, nobility. And of course, that's where we see in Europe the rise of feudalism, which I would say is merely simply that this power, these powerful people gathered and became stronger and then laid under themselves several villages and so on, except instead of every village having their own strong ones and who defended the village against threats and so on, right? So just different levels. But still, it all depended on the, you could say, moral quality and actual qualifications of those kshatriyas, as they are called in Sanskrit in India, the nobility, the strong ones. And of course then you have, you know, such men, they get the most beautiful women who I would say should be a bit the same mentality, strong ladies. And as long as that class is doing their job and actually being such heroes, which we find here in Sweden. I mean, the kings were, even in the 17th and 18th century, they were out there in the front lines when there was a war. So, and these noble soldier people, so how do you say, warriors, knights, living in their castles all over here. They were out there fighting with their swords, with others like that, with their swords. I would say this is a simple way of seeing who's a real one of those. But then gradually, as we saw here in Sweden, the nobility became rather addicted to sugar and nice spices and clothes and wigs and industrialists came. They just enjoyed life. But still, of course, calling themselves nobility and so on. And then, of course, they were kicked out of their power positions because others could see. Yeah. So, when we talk about these varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, we're talking about these groups of people and how a society, when working well, consists of a nice, harmonious teamwork between these groups, where each person contributes and also maintains themselves on, you know, working with what they feel comfortable doing and called to do. Very natural system. And again, Dharma means that which is natural. So this way we can understand and we can analyze every culture, every society on the planet that ever existed and find these four basic groups of people there. And then within them, lots of different guilds and subgroups, which really then make up all the different types of occupation work that the members of the society can find, you know, their place in. Here you are like that, and you go over to those guys or girls, and you will find yourself comfortable among them. You will find good friends and you learn from them how to do what you all want, like to do. And in this way they became proud guilds, you know, proud in the sense of proud over their handcraft and feeling satisfied, meaningful life. And I would say that this is the purpose of talking about these varnas, that you should find and get help and guidance when you're young to find your place, what you love and are basically called here to Earth to do. So, not a caste society, where you divide people up into four castes, and there you are, and you will be treated that way no matter what you think you are. And that's when these, you know, when these class systems, caste systems appear, where this classification is there forced upon people, maintained by someone from above there, rather than naturally developing and growing, unfolding organically, you could say. Again, that's what Dharma is. It's nature, it's the organic, it's the natural order. So that's the one we should keep here in focus. And there's no need for Sanskrit words to classify. But what there is a need for is to see how things work and what sometimes makes them not work. Namely, when people don't understand Dharma and they don't follow it, there is bewilderment, confusion in society. And the so-called rulers, I mean, what to speak of, great warrior kshatriya, knights and chivaliers. We may find ourselves, and I would say we do now, with leaders, because the kshatriyas are the leaders of the society, and that means a big responsibility to protect, make sure everyone has food to eat and a place to live and can live happily. And then there's peace in society. And that there is knowledge being spread there in schools and so on, how to be happy, how to take care of yourselves, your health, your soul, how to be satisfied, how to live life to your full satisfaction and also to your full mission in life. So when that is going on in a society, then it works, it's dharmic. And when not, because something got wrong, and we can of course say quite confidently that when things start to go wrong in a society, there's a lack of knowledge somewhere, or maybe everywhere. The wrong people are in charge, and we can go on analyzing this, but yeah, this is what it's about.